Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with no one else. No, I'm just kidding. DK's here in the background. Glenn is who knows where, gallivanting along the world. We are not sure. No, I'm totally kidding. I think he'll be on in a few minutes. There he is. You know, we're just talking about how you're gallivanting and going on some adventure out in the abyss. But looks like you just got back from work. Glad that you're here.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here. It's a beautiful time in Baltimore. We got to get back on the right track here, Jimbo, because let's call it like it is. Actually, it's not. It hasn't
been a depressing weekend.
Yeah,
it was a depressing weekend. But you know, I felt good about turning the corner. I went to my family's had the same dentist since the 70s. Went to him the other day, and he was asking about his fantasy team. And look, I gave him some good advice. I told him, look. Pick up the Chiefs defense this week. You got the Jets. That's a good defense. Pick up the Chiefs defense because, you know, you're going to get good points there. He got some good points. He's pretty happy about it. I'm feeling good that I gave him some good advice. So on that good mojo, we are turning the corner, baby. That's what it is. We're here to talk. Go ahead.
Well, just we got also over to the bad mojo that is being in London for the Ravens because last year they were there. I mean, all that surrounded that loss well. So yeah, it is a big bounce back game for the Ravens.
Yeah, big time. I'm so looking forward to it and can't wait. So let's get into it. Of course, it's already week 6, which is insane to think about. But let's talk about it. Let's start with some injury stuff. And as you guys know, you know what, Glenn, I want to show something off real quick. I want to show something off I was working on.
Are you taking off your clothes, dude?
No. That's for a different show. Not this show. We don't want to lose subscribers. That's the thing. Gotcha. You know, well, if I start taking my shirt off, we're going to start losing subscribers. All right. I want to show you something. Yeah, you know. All right, let's see. Here, hold on a second. Let me just add this, and I want to get your live result, your live reaction here to the new. To what I've been, look, I'm not a designer by any stretch of the imagination, but I was working on some stuff and we got some new swag out there and I kind of like it.
All right.
Like, can you see that? This is the front. So 100% because, you know, we say 100% all the time.
Where is it? I don't see it. Throw it up.
Wait. Oh, shoot. You can't see it. My bad. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hold on.
All right.
Let me go back now. View store. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Can you see this?
I can see 410 Sports Talk, and I that's all I see.
Oh, I am ruining this. Oh, that's why. Stop share. Hold on. This is anticlimactic. We're going to fix this.
I am ruining this.
Here we go. There we go.
All right, here we go. Let me see. Pull it up. Put it on the screen now, Jimbo.
Oh, yeah. Jesus whiz.
I mean, what is this guy doing?
There we go.
Oh, I like it.
Let me
zoom in a little bit here. Let me maximize my screen.
Yeah. Please do.
I like it, Jimbo. And
you see the back too?
Yeah. Look at you.
Dude, you know, I'm trying, but we got some new swag out there.
Yep.
So DK, I'll put the link here. I'll get it to you. And then you can put it. DK will put it in the description for us. But look, new swag is on the line for the competition. I figured I'd throw something new out there for the folks.
I like that you're leaning into the 100% thing. You know?
I just figured, you know, and there's a ton of other catchphrases we got, but that I just was blanking and wanted something. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw it in there. So I appreciate that. Hey, getting Katie's approval is all I need. Look at that 410 after dark.
Yeah, buddy. Take that shirt off, Jimbo.
I don't know if we'd have that many subscribers if it was 4:10 after dark. We might be struggling. Oh, that's awesome. No, anyway, I didn't mean to throw you off track there, but I was excited about that, so I just want to show it off. But we got to talk about this game. A lot of redemption to be had this week for the city of Baltimore. We need something good, especially with Tomlin coming out there talking trash on Harbs. All that stuff we need. So Ravens Host Nation says, I need positive vibes to this game for my sanity, guys. Yes. Well, look, just like Mike Tyson says, Glenn, the only way it gets better is rock bottom. Rock bottom is beautiful. That's what Mike Tyson likes to say. And I don't know if last week was rock bottom, but dang it, it was pretty close for the wide receiver. It felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get right into it and talk about this injury report, because as we were texting between the three of us, the Ravens weren't messing around this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you showed off. Let me show off a little bit here, Jimbo. Okay. Let me show off a little bit, because this is about the prettiest injury report that I can remember in a long, long time here in Baltimore. I mean, look at all those fools at the end, Jimbo. And I don't mean F-O-O-L-S. I mean full participants in Friday's practice, the most important. If they don't suit up for Friday, chances are they're not going. All these guys, Odell Beckham, Jadeveon Clowney, Marlon Humphrey, Patrick McCary, Keaton Mitchell, who might be making his debut, Morgan Moses, and Geno Stone, all full participants in practice. Looks like the only guy not going to be going is Adafe Owe. Look, we didn't just get our starting tackles back. We even got McCary back there in case somebody can't finish the game. So I'm already feeling a heck of a lot better about our chances.
Yes, so much better. And just like you said, I guess they heard, well, who's that? Charles Davis that did our game on last Sunday. I think it was.
Might have been. Yep.
He was the one that said two or three times about Rashad Bateman not catching the ball because he hasn't been practicing. I think they heard that. I think the Ravens heard it and said, you know what? I could be mad at it, but he might not be wrong. And it's time to get into it. Time to, get in gear and get these things into muscle memory. So this is an awesome, awesome report. We'll get into what I was going to mention later. I do want to talk about some guys and the playing time based on them being, on the field. One being Marcus Williams. I'm still a bit concerned about, but we'll talk about that. All that being said, the Tennessee Titans, you guys can see the list here on the screen. Are there any names here? I'm trying to just give it a once over. I mean, I think the biggest name, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Jeffrey Simmons is a big name. Now, he was limited. He's a stud. Yeah, but he's an absolute. Now, he's the one I'll never like because he spit in Marshall Yanda's face.
He still says that he didn't.
Oh, he did it.
And that it was inadvertent. Yeah, he said it was inadvertent. No, is what he said. You know, he was in the heat of the moment yelling. But you're right. I don't think Marshall Yonda is a liar. So, yeah. But other than
Marshall that. Marshall doesn't. He doesn't speak empty words.
No, no.
He just doesn't.
And just the fury when it happened showed me that, he saw the intention. But other than that, Jeffrey Simmons is a hell of a player. Unfortunately for the Ravens, it looks like he's going to suit up, getting in limited practices. Now, the guy doesn't look like he's going to play action. In fact, he's already been ruled out. Treylon Burks, second-year wideout. Who's expected to kind of be the replacement for A.J. Brown when they traded him away and used that draft pick to draft Treylon Burks. Hasn't turned out that way, but he's still, a pretty big piece for them to be missing. And then Azeez Alshire, he's their leading tackler, but he got in a full practice session. Denico Autry is their leading sack guy, but he got in a full practice session. So the only one that I see out there that they're really going to miss. They're going to miss Burks. Obviously, they're going to miss Elijah Molden because anybody needs cornerback depth. But it's just great to know that the other team is maybe a little more banged up than we are going into a game.
Yeah, it's about time.
It's like, geez, dude. I mean, holy.
Yeah, I'm just and like you said, I'm happy we're on the upswing when it comes to health. Sorry, DK, I put this one up a little early. My apologies. I'm happy knowing we are getting healthy again. Imagine this team fully healthy. Dangerous, dangerous. Any idea on an Odafe return? Yeah, so I'll agree. I mean, and I think a lot of fans of teams that have Ravens caliber rosters will say the same thing, right? Like, it is really about health when you got a good football team. If you ain't got a good football team, well, then it's about not having a good football team or not having a good coach. But if you have those things, then a lot of times it just comes down to health. So we're happy to have a stroke of good luck here in Baltimore as of late. Any idea on an Odafe return? I don't know any. I don't have a ton of details about Odafe. I don't know if you have anything.
No, I'm concerned about it for sure, but he hasn't been put on any IR because he's on the injury report. Because if he was on that, he wouldn't even be on the report. So it's interesting. Like it makes me think maybe they think it's sooner than later because he's not on IR, but also, I do know there's a limit in how many guys you can bring back. I think it's 8 players you can bring back total off of IR, which could mean why Marlon Humphrey wasn't put on it initially, because that would be one of the 8 players. And maybe that's why they don't want to put Odafe on there, because that would be another one of the 8, and they want to save that for other guys. Who knows?
Yeah. No, that's a great point. But it is interesting to see. It is something to keep an eye on. The other thing I want
to
mention is
something to keep the eye on, Jimbo. Are you growing a beard? That's a question in the chat.
Oh, is it? No. You know what's been happening to me? I shave when I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
And like a week ago, I took out my razor because I wanted to get a new head on it. And I left it in my drawer. And I just, every time I get in the shower, I forget to get it out of the drawer. And then I'm in the shower and I'm like, well, I ain't getting out of the shower to get my razor because I don't care that much.
And so here we are.
So until this pattern ends.
So you remember before you get in.
Right. Yeah.
It's just going to get longer.
Yeah. That's just, is there really that noticeable? Like, I feel like it's not even that noticeable, but.
You're breaking up the baby face, Jimbo.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem.
What it is. Yeah.
That's a problem. But the other thing, let's see. Rays, O's Nation, I still hate Tennessee from 2019, to be honest. Yes, 100%. 100%.
And 2020, right? Wasn't there beef?
Back to back years.
Yeah. I'll never forget Marcus Peters, man, that interception. Yeah.
And then the swiping on the logo, man. And everything. Now, speaking of the logo and the swiping on the grass and everything else, I just kind of want to bring this up because it's something we talked about at the end of last show. And it is more and more coming to the forefront of this conversation with playing in England. And it's something that DK cleared up for us. And that is that Premier Soccer League does play on pristine grass, which is why we initially, DK and I, thought that, okay, well, it only makes sense that they would play on that grass, right? Because soccer players aren't going to play on turf. They want to play on grass. And Glenn, you mentioned, because you'd already seen reports about complaints about the turf, I think from like the Buffalo Bills and a few other teams that have happened before. So what happens is, this is one of the few moments where we were all right. So like, they do play on grass, which is true, but they take the grass off the field and they give the NFL the turf that is the same turf that they use for like concerts and things of that nature. Crazy. So basically what it comes down to is the fact that the NFL isn't paying enough money to these teams to justify them to tear up and repair their nice grass. So the NFL just needs to come out of pocket a little more is what I get from this whole thing.
That's so insane to me. The money that the NFL makes, I mean, come on. How much could that realistically be to get it maintained and repaired after an NFL game? Like, I'm sure, I mean, come on. This is a billion, it's crazy. But, I mean, the fact that the players are even set, like, if I was the players, talking about band together, I would band together and say we all refuse to play on anything other than natural grass. But then the problem is you got guys like Roquan who's like, yeah, I'd prefer to play on grass, but I'll play in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care. So, man, I just hope, man, we get out of this without any major injuries. I mean, I know Bills fans have got to be sick. Matt Milano was their Roquan Smith. And look where he's at. He's gone for the year with a shattered leg. Makes me nervous, Jimbo.
Yeah, and Von Miller just talked about this being the worst turf that, the worst field he's played on, I think he said ever.
How long's that guy been around? How many fields
that's what he said.
He's
like, I've been in the league 13 years, and that was by far and away the worst field conditions I've ever played on. So, something to keep your eyes on. Let's hope that we get out of here. Whatever the outcome, like, let's keep the healthy train going.
Yeah.
Right? Let's keep that going. But all right, so let's get right into this matchup, Glenn. And we'll talk about the Titans defense, as we always do, against the Ravens offense. And then we'll flip-flop it, and we'll get into our breakout players and our keys to the game. And of course, our segment, which is the most important part of the show and why all of you showed up. So let's get right into it, Glenn. What do you know about this Texans defense, my man?
You mean Tennessee defense?
Yeah. Tennessee defense.
Titans. There we go.
Problem. Didn't they used to be in Texas? They used to Oilers,
Yeah, there you go.
Give myself some justification here for a brief part.
So were we talking about their defense?
Yeah, their defense.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, the defense is the strong point of the team. Mm-hmm. And I guess that shouldn't be any surprise when you think of who their head coach is and Mike Vrabel. But they're ninth right now in the league, giving up 18.5 points per game. They're middle of the pack, 16th, giving up 335 yards per game. They give up third down conversions at a 38.4% rate, which puts them at 12th in the league. Looks like rushing yards per game. Let's see, they're ninth, giving up 94.5 yards per game. So this is, let me see. Oh, and passing yards. Here we go. They're 23rd, giving up 240 passing yards per game. So not a great defense, Jimbo, but that's the strong point of this team. So it kind of tells you what we're going to be talking about when we get to this offensive side of the ball. But just like a really middle of the road defense. Like they're pretty good at keeping you out of the end zone. You know, they get a little bit staunch when it comes down to the red zone. But other than that, I'm average or below average in virtually every defensive category, which is kind of surprising because they got some pretty good players at every level and they got a defensive minded head coach, which is why it's kind of surprising to see them in this position.
Yeah, it is. And they're kind of, I don't know. I feel like they're in transition trying to hold on to some mojo that they've had. Now, look, I'm not here to knock because I was knocking on the Steelers last week pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out well for us. So, but I mean, the reality is what it is. It just, they seem like a team that is ready to blow it up at some point, but somehow they just keep holding on and it's the AFC South. You never know. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Then they get in the playoffs and all of a sudden they're AFC championship game. Right.
Well, they keep trying to get quarterbacks in there, Jimbo, because obviously they're not happy enough with Ryan Tannehill. But they keep drafting guys and nothing happens. I mean, Malik Willis was supposed to be their guy last year, and then they tried to move him this offseason. They couldn't do it. And now they got him and Will Levis in the background, who, by the way, is a lunatic because he puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
And he's not better than Malik. I'll say it. He's not.
A lot of people were like, what? Now, some people were really high on him, and other people were really – he was kind of that polarizing guy, Will Levis, where either you loved him or you really didn't understand why everybody else did.
Yeah, he's Mitch Trubisky 2.0.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, he's not going to have any better of a career than Mitchell Trubisky.
Bullshit. So it's just crazy. Like, it just shows you, man. It's tough to find a quarterback, man.
Yeah, meanwhile, the ESPN, after one bad week of Ravens historical drops, the ESPN is like, are the Ravens getting enough out of Lamar Jackson? Shut up.
Dude, that was so...
Shut up.
Silly. Stupid. Like, that whole segment, which I'm glad that even the on-air people there called out some of these people. Like, Orlovsky went to bat for him like crazy. Yeah. Kimberly Martin went... But it's like, dude, Chris Canty, dude, come on. Are you nuts?
I know.
Like, he went in on Lamar. I'm like, dude, you obviously did not watch the game. And then, like, I get if you want to criticize the throw because it wasn't a great throw, but everything else was wrong with that play, too. So to just criticize the throw is crazy. And then they criticize the fumble when he's literally talking back to throw when his arm is hit. And he's like, hold on to the ball. It's like, that dude's a monster swiping at it, and he's got it with one hand. Like, what do you want him to do, dude? It's absolutely crazy.
Dude, speaking of good throws, did you see the water bottle throw from that dude, Dylan? Dude. All three of the guys.
Dude, that was incredible, bro.
I don't even, like, follow that stuff very closely because, like, especially Logan, he's just an ultimate clown at this point, right? But, like, dude, that throw. Ding, ding, ding.
Dude, it was crazy. And look, you get what he dealt it out. He threw the first microphone. Yeah. So
I think he threw a water bottle, though. He threw a water bottle. Dylan threw a microphone.
Yeah, hey, man. Shouldn't have started it, man.
You're right. I mean, look, if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So
don't throw a stick at a guy with a grenade in his hand. How about that?
Not a good idea. Not a good idea. But I mentioned, you know, their defense and their rankings. Yeah. I want to point out a couple of players.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. Exactly. Jeffrey Simmons is he's one of the very best D tackles. It seems like we've been facing a lot of really good D tackles. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like every week I'm going, he's a really good D tackle. But yeah, he's another one. And then they got Kevin Byard, who just seems like he's been in the NFL forever. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy led the league in picks like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
like,
crazy.
He's still around, and he's a pretty talented safety. Obviously, a ball hawk guy who's had a ton of picks in his career. Arden Key, another pass rusher. Denico Autry, again, leads their team with 4 sacks, and Arden Key is second with 2.5. Imani Hooker, another probably familiar name from around, who's kind of floated around the league. I think he started in Indy, went to Dallas, and now he's there, if I remember correctly. They've got a lot of talented players, which is why it's so surprising to see them so low in the rankings. But as we've seen, Jimbo, football is complementary. And if you got a dookie offense, it makes a good defense look terrible. And we saw that when the Browns didn't, you know, ever since the Browns don't have Deshaun Watson, all of a sudden their defense that was looking historic is looking a whole lot more mediocre. We see that with the Patriots, where their defense was good. But when your offense can't do anything, your defense gets exposed eventually.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say, too, you know, you're talking about all these good D tackles and Byard and things like that. Every week we talk about a good D tackle as long as I know that a Linderbaum is healthy, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not that concerned about it. And then you think, dude, the only thing I think of when I think of Byard is I think of the playoff game we played in Tennessee, we ended up winning, was when his job was to keep Lamar Jackson from going outside. And Lamar looked at him and he looked back at Lamar and then Lamar went outside. And he didn't even touch him. Didn't even touch him. Like,
he'll do that to a lot of people.
I mean, goodness gracious. There's not too many. I mean, you do that to a safety of that caliber. That's man. Mm-hmm. Coach is talking about that in the film room next week. Well, and for a while, because that was the end of their season. They were off to vacation after that. All right. So let's talk about the Ravens offense though, because it's all about get back this week. It doesn't matter who we're facing. Yeah. And, you know, you guys know what it is when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens offense. You know the players. Really, it's about overcoming the mistakes, ultimately, is what it's about. You know, the picks were a huge deal last – I mean, not the picks, excuse me. The drops were a huge deal last week. We had – I saw some on – 7 on some sites, 8 on some sites, and 9 on others. Whatever the number was, it was a historical number that hadn't been reached in a decade since 2013. So, you know, let's talk about this offense. And I just want to give you, Glenn, my key to the game here, because I think it's important. All right. This Ravens offense needs to take a breath. Just take a breath. You heard it all week. And then just play mistake-free football. Don't turn it over. Look, I think ultimately, as crazy as it sounds, even with all those drops, Glenn, if we just didn't turn the ball over last week, we still have a good chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just not turn the ball over. Yes, we got to catch it, but I'm just asking for something a little bit simpler. Just don't hawk it up. Let's just hold on to it, right? So take a breath. Don't pressurize it for yourselves. The last game is over, and it's like Rafiki, right? Have I talked about this?
I believe it's like you brought up Rafiki.
Yeah, yeah, the Colts game. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's Rafiki all over again. Like, I don't know how many times he needs to come out there and smack somebody in the head with a stick, but it just is what it is. You got to learn from it, right? It hurts. It's over. So my thing is just don't turn the ball over. Take a deep breath and just play football. Like that's my offensive key to the game.
Yeah, it's like we said on Tuesday. I'm tired of hearing we can't fumble and then watching them, you know, go out there and fumble. So hold on to the ball, especially if you're a running back. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's job one. Hold on to the ball.
Yep.
And I'm seeing every week we have a different running back, you know, deciding to fumble. But my key to the game offensively is catch the freaking ball, Jimbo. I mean, it's catch the ball, because this game would have been an absolute shellacking last weekend if they could just hold on to the ball. Even if they had, they could have a couple drops, just not 9. Yeah, 3 drops, okay. But not 9 freaking drops, Jimbo. And then, by the way, those count, you know, those numbers you said, some had 7, some had 8, some had, they didn't include the mistracking of the ball, where it never even touched the hand to be recorded as a drop because you didn't track it properly. And you got your feet tangled up. So it's catch the freaking ball, man. But you're so right. It's all about just self-inflicted wounds have been the reason why they've lost the 2 games. They haven't been beaten by anyone yet. They've shot themselves in the foot throughout the entire game, and they lost the game, but they haven't been beaten. So right. I think you're right. I mean, you can't turn the, because here's the problem. It starts to affect their confidence, and then they're thinking too much out there about stuff that should be second nature, like taking a handoff or catching an easy ball, because it starts affecting their psyche. And that's the only thing I worry about. If we have another game with drops, that's 2 in a row. If we have another game with turnovers, that's multiple in a row, it might start affecting their confidence, and that is not a place you want to be if you're a football team where you're lacking in confidence. So, man, we got all our guys out there. No excuse about backup tackles. We don't have any of that excuse, because even if one goes down, we got McCary.
Yep.
So, man, let's just do the bare minimum of what you're supposed to do, and they should win the damn game.
That's right. Do the bare minimum. I like it. Just slide by. No, I mean, but that's the floor.
See,
like,
average.
That's right. Let's push him on through to the next grade. Dang. Yeah, whatever. But you're right. I mean, let's just avoid the stupid mistakes and play some clean football. Whether that manifests itself in not fumbling or catching the football, I think both things need to happen. But, you know, just like the famous saying goes, like, do your job. This is about as simple as that. But I'll tell you what, Glenn, my breakout player for this game, I'm so excited to have written down, and that is one Zay Flowers. I think that Zay, coming off of a rough game, I think this could end up being one of the roughest games of his career when he looks back, and one that he's going to look to get out of his system quickly. He wants to turn the page on that game and get the naysayer saying that the Ravens don't have a number one out of here, right? So, Zay Flowers is going to come back. And not only is he scoring once, Glenn, he's getting in twice. Hasn't gotten in once all season, and you can book it right here. He's getting a deep pass, and he's getting some yak yards on a second one off of a short pass, and he's going to get into the end zone. Zay Flowers, 100-plus, 6 catches, 2 tutties. Call it.
Dang. I like it, man. Look, he needs to bounce back, because you talk about confidence. I mean, a rookie is usually the easiest to get his confidence shaken after a poor outing. But something tells me Zay Flowers just has the ultimate confidence, and I think he'll go out there and perform. Mine's Mark Andrews. I mean, Mark Andrews had a horrifyingly bad game. I mean, you drop 3 easy catches, in my opinion. 3 of them. And one of which, after watching, you know, some film breakdown, it looks like he may have run the or it may have been like an option route, and maybe that ball he dropped in the end zone wasn't even intended for him. It could have been intended for Zay Flowers, who was running across the back of the end zone. It would have went right into his hands as well. I guess we'll never really know who it was going to, but Mark Andrews has got to do, he's got to do what he always does. Hang on to the ball, be a monster after when you get the ball in your hands, be tough to bring down, and just be a mismatch nightmare. We just can't have these drops like last week, man.
No, absolutely not. Ugh. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because for a lot of the same reasons, we have our guys, you know, bouncing back, and really who it comes down to. And I'm sure they'll both have monster games. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm not feeling bad for the Tennessee Titans defense. Not in the slightest. I don't know why I even thought about saying that. I'm looking forward to this one. I did notice in the comments, I think Notorious Raven said this smells like a trap game. I think if we dominated last week, you could say that, but I think that the whole idea of the trap game is out the window because of the situation that, you know, occurred last weekend, of the predicament that was the Ravens loss to Steelers. So
it's embarrassing. I mean, yeah. Look at ESPN took full advantage of that moment. Throwing that stupid segment up there. Let's look at this opportunity to bash Lamar Jackson. Yeah. By the way, highest rated offensive player in the entire league last week by PFF.
That's insane.
Not just quarterback. Right. Any offensive player. The highest grade was Lamar Jackson. 94.6, I believe it was.
Yeah.
By the way, I meant to ask this last week. Marcus, is this the Marcus Orr? Is this the one and only brother of little brother of Zach Orr? If I remember correctly, he had a younger brother, Marcus, who was playing in college, who was a hell of a player as well when Zach was doing his thing and you know, towards the end of his career as a player for the Ravens. So if this is the Marcus Orr
unto us, my friend,
yeah, appreciate you coming out. Yeah. But he says my prediction for breakout players, Pat Ricard. In need of a bounce back game, we go back to one of our most reliable and underused weapons. Well, I tell you what, he'd certainly catch people off guard. I think we'll see less of Pat Ricard because of the health of the offensive line. Typically, when we see more of him when we have a beat up tackle, yeah, because he's really the only bona fide blocking tight end on the entire team. So I don't know if we're going to see a ton of Pat Ricard. What do you think?
Yeah, no, sorry, Marcus. I appreciate you going out on a limb, but that is a shaky, shaky, shaky limb, my friend. And but at the same time, I don't know what a breakout, you know, one catch for 8 yards might be a breakout game for Pat Ricard, right? So
two catches
for 12.
That's breakout. You know,
that's breakout for Ricard. Yeah. He's going home with a big old smile on his face, ear to ear.
That's right.
He said, LOL, I wish, but no, I am not.
Gotcha.
Nah, it's all right, dude. We like you the way you are. You don't have to wish you're him. Yeah. We appreciate you showing up.
You be you.
Yeah, that's right. Trust me.
You know what I mean?
You know, if you look me up, there's a James Haskell who's a very attractive rugby player out there who is very famous. And but you know what? I'd rather be me than this guy. So, you know, rep yourself, Marcus.
Yeah. Yeah.
He puts on his pants just like you do. One leg at a time.
Oh, you don't pull yours over your head like I do?
No.
No? Okay. I do mine from the top. I put my pants on from the top.
Glenn just got a full-on suspension system in his room, and he just jumps in his drawers. They're just hanging from the thing. Whoop! Just jumps right in them.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready to go.
That's right. They're pressed and everything, bro. Got the crease down the side, baby. All right, let's get into some of their offense versus
the Vaunted. Names.
Yeah, they do. They do. They absolutely do. Too bad this isn't 2019.
Yeah.
But no, they do got some names. There's no doubt. I think they're just a quarterback away. That's what it feels like. But also at the same time, I'm like, but I remember Tannehill isn't that bad. He had some pretty good years with them, but as far as where they're at this season, they average 17.6 points per game, which puts them at 26th. They average 293 yards, which puts them at 24th in the league. Let's see. Third down conversions. They convert third downs at a rate of 37.1%, which is 23rd in the league. Let's see. Rushing yards per game. They're 18th. 18th. Tennessee Titans. With you-know-who in the backfield are 18th in the league in rushing yards per game at 106. Pass yards per game, they're 28th, Jimbo. 187. So, I mean, it's like really difficult to find any stats where they're top half. In fact, I mean, at fourth down conversion, they're top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. it's not good. And that's and you know what's here's what's even more interesting. I don't think Derrick Henry is the best running back on their team, which is just crazy.
Yeah. How insane is that to think about?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this young guy, Tajay Spears, is taking snaps from him. And early in the season, it's like, well, game script, it got out of hand. So they brought in the more pass catching back. But even in games where it's close, he's still encroaching on the snaps from Derrick Henry. So watch out for Tajay Spears, man. He is a home run threat. And as much as, you know, we all remember the Derrick Henry of old, this isn't the Derrick Henry of old.
No, just simply isn't. And I tell you what, just like you said, there's some names and you take it a few years back, then this roster looks a bit more dangerous, right? But you never know. The thing about guys that may be in the back nine is that they can, you know, you can do it for one. It's like this, Glenn, when you give your kids to the grandparents and the grandparents know it's for a finite time, they can go all out because it's a sprint, not a blitz, baby. So you look at your parents and the grandpa and they're like, dang, you just did all that with my kid? Like, well, it was only 6 hours and I'm off the next 3 months.
Yeah, you know what I mean? True. Yep.
So look, you just never know when an old dog decides to say, you know what, I'm going to stretch it out today. And, you know, even if I feel sore tomorrow, we're going after it. Just take a lot of Tylenol and some baby aspirin. But Raven O's Nation says, hopefully the Ravens will win. And then at 1 o'clock, I can watch the comedy of DTR.
Yeah. The Browns starter.
Right. Yeah. The young kid starting against the 49ers defense. Yeah. I should have kept.
I'm pretty sure. He's
not
going to
start. They're starting the vet, right?
Yeah, the third string.
And he like recently signed too, right?
Yeah.
I forgot his name, but
PJ Walker. There we go. Yeah, shout out to the Truth is Light. Yeah, PJ Walker, who's got some play experience, but most of it is just that. It's only experience. It's not.
Man, how funny is that? Deshaun Watson's just like.
I know, dude.
Chilling,
making all that bread.
It's crazy to me, man. But yeah, we're with you, Ravens O's Nation. Let's get it done. Get it in early. and get the win, baby. That's what I gotta say.
So, I want to bring this up because this is interesting, Jimbo.
Yep.
So the Ravens so far this year, the Ravens in a year where I think we all agree they've left touchdowns on the field, right? We talked about the drops last week.
Yeah.
So far this year, they've scored 13 touchdowns. The Ravens have offensively, and they've scored 5 field goals. So 13 tutties, 5 field goals. The Tennessee Titans, 7 touchdowns all year, 13 field goals. So it's clearly a team that struggles to find the end zone. I mean, it's absolutely insane to think that they have 7 total touchdowns this far into the season. I mean, it's insane. Like, the Ravens should have at least, what, 16? At least?
Yeah.
And this team has 7. So that kind of leads into my key to the game. It's just keep letting them be who they are and let them kick field goals all day.
Yep.
They can have field goal. They got a hell of a kicker. He hasn't missed one all year. That's fine. Let them kick field goals all day long, because you ain't winning this game by just kicking field goals. So just, you know, let them kick, let them get it. If they want to move the ball between the 20s, okay, that's fine. Stiffen up in the red zone. Let them take their 3 if they get there, but just no touchdowns. And it should be easy with a team that just looks allergic to the end zone.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not upset with it because, I mean, you already know how well our defense excels in the red zone. So this is just something I think that plays in our hands, and I'm looking forward to it, man. Let's give them 15 points. Let's give them 5. You know what I mean? They get 5 field goals out of this bad boy. Sure. Well,
we only average 14 and a half given up, Jimbo. So that would be an accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a big day for the Titans.
Yeah. It's a battle of a bottom 5 offense versus a top 3 defense. I mean, well, the Ravens are top 3 in mostly every category.
And I tell you what, the one thing that I think that could change the outcome of this game and have something else come to fruition as far as, you know, the Titans, I keep wanting to say Texans, the Titans, you know, taking command of the game, or, you know, getting a lead, or even getting in the end zone, you know, which is a rarity in and of itself for them right now, would be the lack of the Ravens' ability to simply rally to the football and gang tackle Henry, right? Like, we've seen him break off for these 99 yarders or these, you know, long ones. Let's just bottle him up, get 2 or 3 bodies on him, and let's tackle him. I mean, that's my key to the game, right? It's simply, as a defense, make it your commitment that every time somebody's there, you got somebody coming with you. Right? It's like a buddy system. Let's tackle Henry in the buddy system, right? So, you know, that's my key. I think if the Ravens can simply do that, everything else should be just fine. And I'm also going to give you my key to my breakout player of the game, because I think it's important. I think that Marlon Humphrey is going to get thrown at, because we're going to tackle Henry. I think he's going to throw at a lot. Last week, he gave up 6 for 70 and change and a tutty. That was a terrible stat line for Marlon Humphrey. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Marlon is not one of those guys that's going to get down and stay down. I just don't believe it. Marlon right now is in the UK blaring that "I get knocked down, but I get up again" song in his headphones. Corny and cheesy as can be, but he's ready to go for early Sunday morning. So I think Marlon Humphrey, look, I'm going to give you another one just like I did with Zay. I think he has his hands on a football.
Yeah.
I think he produces a turnover this week, but Marlon Humphrey's going to have one heck of a game. No touchdowns. We're 44s on him. That's what I'm saying.
I like it. SMKG says, finally got Henry on fantasy. We won't talk about that. Need this game before third toughest schedule. Y'all think we signed Frank Clark? Early reports are that Frank's heading back to Kansas City, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's got familiarity there. You know, he's won there, so I'm
all
sure.
All these players pouting their way out of their current situation.
And then crawling back, you know? So, yeah, he's
going
to
Well, they cut him, DK, but they cut him because he made it possible by taking that pay cut.
Yeah.
Because he wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if I'd want to be in Denver either. Denver's a dope city. I don't know if I'm going to play for Denver, though.
Yeah. They're an absolute, they're a mess. But yeah, sorry. Not the year to take Derrick Henry.
Should have taken Isaiah Pacheco.
I hope you got Tajay Spears, by the way, as a handcuff. Because if you don't, go get him. Absolutely. But you know what's funny? Like, I think I've seen some Titans fans showing confidence and showing like acting as if like correct me if I'm wrong. Last time these two teams played, the Ravens went into their house and mm-hmm. beat them in front of their wife and kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson had an insane game on the ground where he had 130 yards, some change rushing, and we danced on their emblem, right? Wiped the shoes off on that Tennessee emblem in the center of their field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to.
Right. So, like, where's the false sense of confidence coming from?
Yeah, like, they're a trash team this year, and the last time we played, beat them in their own house in the playoffs when it mattered most. And then wiped their shoes off, their cleats off on the logo. I just don't get where this false sense of confidence, especially when they're playing so terribly this year. I just don't see where it's coming from.
Hey, look, delusion is a thing. We all know people that are plenty delusional, right? I mean, I guess we all have a sense of delusion, but sounds like Titans fans got their fair share of delusion. And you know, sometimes it's a defense mechanism, right? It's all about survival.
I guess so. Yeah. And look, it can't be easy knowing you still don't have a quarterback. And it's going to, I mean, look, these guys haven't found one yet. Who's to think they're going to find one anytime soon? But yeah, I think this is a big bounce back game. I think the Ravens do a good job of bottling up their offense. And I think they bounce back offensively in a big way, hang on to the ball. But we have to get into our most exciting time of the show here, Jimbo.
Let's do it.
And by the way, my breakout player is Kyle Hamilton, because the last time I picked him, he had 3 sacks. And
yeah, keep picking him.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep picking him until he lets me down. But of course, this next segment, our competition, which is open to the public, and Jimmy just previewed, if you didn't see, some new swag.
Ooh.
Leaning into our 100% talk.
Right.
So you guys can enter this competition.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. What are we doing? You're pulling it back up. All right.
Here we go.
Does it the right way this time. Hey, okay, there we go. 100%, baby.
That's right.
Make sure you guys participate by entering your over-under predictions, your tiebreakers, your closest to the pin, by sending us a direct message to the handle above my head. But let's get into BetUS, by the way, is bringing us this segment. Without them, we wouldn't have this competition, Jimbo.
Right. I mean, they are ride or die, and they should be your ride or die when it comes to sports gambling. Of course, they are the OGs in the business. Use the link in the description or the promo code 410 to get not 100% match, but 125% match up to $2,500. I think so far we've been doing pretty good at guiding you guys correctly. I think whatever the line is on the Ravens, I feel confident in taking it. I think the Ravens are going to play really well and play a complete game is what their emphasis is going to be on. So go check it out. But if it's not the Ravens, if you want to do an in-game bet, if you want to hang out with your family, make some fun prop bets, whatever the case may be, BetUS has it all. Even if it's baseball, I mean, how many people would have bet? How much money would people have made taking the Phillies over the Braves, right? I'm sure there was some serious money to be had there. So this is a great time of year to go make yourself some dollars. Go ahead, do it. Have a good time. Do it responsibly, only with your fun money, and don't bet the house. All that being said, go join BetUS and use the promo code. It's a great and easy way to support the show. In addition to that, if you don't win or under competition, the merch is for everybody. You can go buy it, of course. DK is going to put the link to the merch in the description as well. It's already there, so go check it out, because DK is 2 steps ahead. All right, the Ravens are favored by 4.5. Mm-hmm. By the way, Glenn,
mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable with the over. Taking the Ravens to cover.
I mean, Titans are trash, so yeah.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable with that, and they just flew out on Thursday.
Mm. A little jet lag.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. All right, let's get right into it.
All right, let's see here. So our first over-under is Ravens rush yards per attempt. 5.0 is the over-under. Last game we were at exactly 5 yards per rush. For the season, we're at 4.5. What say you, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going over. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, I think of two guys. Gus is a career 5-yard rusher, and I think of Lamar Jackson. I think he averages a hair over 5. I think he's closer to 6, maybe even over 6 at this point. But, So I feel confident that we're going to be over 5. I mean, and they're not a great defense. So like all those things in a pot, I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah, and I agree. And it doesn't hurt that they're getting both their tackles back either. So
yeah, that doesn't hurt.
You know, you're getting those guys back. I expect him to have the full complement of plays. He will be able to pick and siphon through all of them he wants. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think last couple weeks he's had to shrink his playbook a little bit, judging by the offensive line play. So yeah, over. And DK does not agree with us, Jimbo. Nope. He says under. So
no, he's sticking with the average. I get it.
I think he's just trying to stay in this losing lane he's been in. And I think that's the first step to it. So congratulations to DK. You know what the best about talking crap to DK is that he's not here to defend himself.
One of these days, DK's going to put himself on the screen. And he's just going to be like, yeah, he's going to
take me out and put himself in. There we go.
He's just going to mute you is what he's going to do.
Dang.
All right. Let's go to the next one. What do we got here? All right. Ravens or over under Ravens third down efficiency for the season. It's at 45.1%. This over under is set at 50.1%. Glenn, what say you, my friend?
Let's see here. What did I say? Oh, I said over. And I think the reason being is that I think that run game we just spoke of will set them up for short third down opportunities. And for that reason, I think they'll convert. So I say over.
Nice. So I'm going under.
What?
I'm going under.
You don't like our team.
I'm just sticking with the average here. It is what it is. We're going into week six. You know, there is a little bit to like, we are who we are type thing. Now this isn't a great defense, so it does make me a little nervous, but this percentage could be skewed very much so by one or two third downs because we might not be in a lot of third downs. So there might only be eight of them or I don't know, 10 of them. I think there was what, like 15 or something last week or something like that. But you know, there might be a smaller amount. So one or two plays could really tip the scales here. So I'm a bit nervous about that, but I'm going under. And DK went over. All right. So this is where I win. Okay. All right. Defensive over unders. Titans first down, 16.5 first downs. The Ravens opposing they're averaging 17.2 first downs for opposing teams for the season. The over-under for opposing Titans or the Titans first downs is 16.5. I went under and strongly under.
Dang.
On this one, Glenn. I mean, they're just not I'm not concerned about the Tennessee Titans offense moving the ball very well. I will say, though, we do let teams move it a little bit more than I'd like between the 20s at times.
Yeah. Imagine how much better this team would be if they didn't trade away the best receiver they drafted in a long, long time.
It's crazy.
I mean, they trade away AJ Brown to draft a guy who cannot play. Like,
yeah,
just got to be set. And then they have to get Hopkins, who what has he got? A year left? 2 years? I mean, it's just got to be. They'd just be so much better. I don't know what happened between AJ Brown and that organization, but they got to be kicking themselves. I'm gonna say under as well, but it worries me a bit only because. That's not a lot of first downs. I mean, but I'm going to say under because that's just a bad offense and a really good Ravens defense that seems to be getting healthy. So I'll say under as well. And DK agrees with us. So a clean sweep there, all saying under. Next one we have Titans rushing yards, 99.5. They average 106 on the season, Jimbo. Will they have more or less than 99.5?
Yeah, they're going to have under 99.5. I'm not mistaken. We give up 90 a game, if I believe is what we're at. We're right at the 90 mark. So I think whatever it is ends up being about that.
92.
Yeah, so I think it's about the average, most likely under more than over in my estimation. So I'm going with under.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. Under as well. I think Clowney's going to have a big, big game. I think they'll continue to get better on the opposite side of him with Van Noy getting more and more play time and getting more comfortable. And then those studs in the middle, they're so fast, man. And this isn't the old Derrick Henry where he can take advantage of faster guys by running through them. It's not the old Derrick Henry. And I think they're too fast to let Spears get going too much. So I think they get about 95 rushing yards. So I'll say under.
There you go. All right, let's go to the last one here. The old nail in the coffin is what we like to call it.
DK says over, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he did. All right, let's go to first tiebreaker. Total score over under 42 points. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ravens are going over. They're going to win 30-17. The Baltimore Ravens win handily, but that is over 42 points. Glenn, what say you?
I say under, only because I don't think the Titans are going to get in, hold up their end of the bargain. I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game for their side, and I think we'll be right around our average. So I'm going to say 21-10 is the final, somewhere around there, 24-10. Either way, under the 42 points. What's going on, Laney, baby? Sorry, I had to shout somebody out real quick.
And DK says over as well. So DK and myself are the only two that have faith in the Ravens. And
Hold on. I said under because I didn't think the Titans would score. You got the Titans scoring 17. I mean, what kind of Ravens fan are you? I don't think they'll get any close to that.
Well, I have faith in the Ravens offense putting up 30.
Okay. Where's your faith in their defense, bruh?
You know, it's the NFL. They like offense. This is what it is. Blind squirrel finds a nut. You know what I mean? That type of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go into our second tiebreaker.
That won't be needed. It's irrelevant anyway, but I'll have already won. The second tiebreaker is going to be total yards to the Ravens. Closest to the pin, of course, is the one that can ultimately win it for you. And as always, I am the most faithful Ravens fan on this show. 385 yards is what I'm taking, and that is the most amongst the three of us.
You just wanted to point that out?
Yep.
All right, well, I got 318, which is the least.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm going to start calling you Peter. Oh, yeah, of little faith, man.
You can't get a lot of yards when you're getting nothing but short fields, Jimbo. I've been telling you this.
I like that. All right.
You know, they're going to be constantly at the 40-yard line or further when they get the ball. So it's going to be hard to rack up those kind of yards. You know, it's a question I'm going to kind of piggyback off of a question in the chat. When do the refs, or is this the normal ref crew that we would see in the States?
They
travel over. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I know.
When did they get there?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, I need to know, dude. They need to get there for Monday.
I know that they flew economy. And they stayed at a Motel 8.
Did they have their uniform on at the airport?
Yeah, they just stayed at a hostel. They had to share rooms.
Be careful out there, dude. Be careful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about this game. I'm typically, it's hard for me, even though I love primetime games, it's hard for me because the wait is so incredibly long. Like, it's like, oh, Monday nights. It's like, oh, so it's kind of nice to know that as soon as I wake up pretty much on Sunday, I'll be preparing and then getting ready to watch some football. So that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a good time. I can't wait for it. Mossy says, what's for breaky during the game? Breakfast. Breakfast for me will be eaten and well digested by game time. But I don't know if that's
the same. We got lots of breakfast, dude. You know how the breakfast goes.
Yeah. I'm just saying 9 o'clock is late for breakfast for your boy over here.
Yeah.
I will have eaten.
Well, it's just instead of having a
already sat on the throne by that time.
Well, instead of having like your normal game day food, like we would have here, like your wings and your traditional, we're having a breakfast spread. Yeah. So, nice. It's going to be exciting. And also let's see second part here, radio and TV shows saying Ravens disappointing around world thought Ravens would be blowing out team Super Bowl favorite. Well, yeah.
Look, it's a long season.
Yeah, and they also have had so many just stubbing their own toe. It's not like this is a team that just is being exposed for lack of talent or any of that. I mean, it's just they just haven't been playing up to their level in two games. In other games, they've looked phenomenal. So they just got to get more consistent, right?
Yeah, I agree. Odell Presser, I saw pieces of it. Think we regret the signing? I don't think so. It's a long season. Let's see what he does in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get to the playoffs. I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but let's see what he does.
Well, if they win today, their playoff odds go to 79%.
All right.
If they lose tomorrow or Sunday, their playoff odds, I believe, drop to like 45%.
All right. Well, let's get it done, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think we're there yet, folks. It's early on. So
look, you got to understand that Odell signing was more than what's on the field.
Yeah.
It's not a culture change, but it was
a taxes for signing Lamar. That's what it is.
Yeah. Texas. That, and also just changing the narrative that no receiver will sign to Baltimore. I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it for us tonight, folks. We appreciate you joining us. We'll be here right after the show. And shout out to all those marathoners tomorrow here in the Baltimore Marathon, half marathoners, 5Ks. They run right past my house. We'll be watching them and cheering them
on. How come you're not in this, Jimbo?
Because I got an ultra next weekend.
But why didn't you plan to run the Baltimore Marathon when you're a Baltimore resident?
Because I said I was going to do an ultra once a month till the end of the year.
When are you going to run the daggone Baltimore? It seems weird that you haven't ran the Baltimore in a Baltimore Marathon.
I did the half with my wife last year. We did the half marathon together.
I'm not talking Jimmy leisurely. I'm talking competitive Jimbo Slimbo.
Well, next year, my goal is to qualify for Boston at the Baltimore Marathon, which is very hard to do because it is not a downhill marathon, but that is my goal. So but next year.
You train in, it's your backyard.
Yeah, yeah, but it's an uphill marathon.
Oh, that's brutal. Them calves are going to be burning.
Yeah, so that's my goal. That's the plan. I'll be in it next year and every subsequent year for the rest of my life until I
finish. And by the way, didn't your sister win the marathon?
For her age group, yeah, she won it. Yeah. So yeah, the 3,000 girls in her age group, she won. Yeah.
You got big shoes to fill.
I'm going to smoke her time, though. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I could run it tomorrow and beat her time. I feel pretty good.
Oh, that's it. I'm texting her.
You can do it. It's fine. But no, that's it for us, folks. I appreciate you guys coming out. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Hey! Ah-ha!